Well, a very good morning. Now, we had our second Bible reading. And there in just five verses, that's all it amounts to, in five verses, we have the very well-known occasion when the Lord spent time with Mary and Martha in their home. And we'd figure as well, brother Lazarus would have been there, and perhaps others too, who might have been there on this famous occasion. All five verses of it recorded in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, and yet it gives to us a wealth of thoughts and direction that we can take as we consider the lessons that come out of it. Well, we don't know what they look like, but here we are, two women there. Of course, that's Martha, looking less than happy. And there is Mary, listening carefully to the things that their most special and wonderful guest was speaking to them. So Mary and Martha. Well, I don't know whether this kitchen here, which I suspect is somewhere in London in the 1990s, knowing from where these pictures have come, really gets us that close to what the accommodation would have been like there in the village of Bethany, near to Jerusalem, which is where this all takes place, when Martha welcomes the Lord into her house. You might recall, last month, didn't we, looked at the centurion, and how he actually stopped the Lord coming to his house. Not worthy for you to come in. Well, here he has entered into somebody's house, as he was accustomed to doing. And well, we don't know for sure, do we, what the house looked like, but that could have been something of what it was like in the dining room. Simple chairs there. I don't know how wealthy these people were. And there's a very simple table and a few receptacles there, plates on the table. Well, like us this morning, lacking a bit of light, it was hard to light these places except with candles and things, oil lamps and the rest. But that might have been it. Just that. Isn't it amazing then that the Son of God came to this earth as a man and ate meals in places like that. Not in a palace, not in some stately home, not in some grand establishment, but perhaps in a place like that. Perhaps often. Here we know of Mary and Martha and the kindness that they extended to him, but we learned of other people who also provided for him out of their means and perhaps also invited him into their homes. And their homes may have been nothing much more than that. And so the Lord of glory, the King of kings, came and would eat meals with ordinary people in houses perhaps that looked like that. Never again think your living room is lacking something. That is what it could have been like in those days. And here's the kitchen. Well, here's the kitchen perhaps. I don't know. There we are. A few sort of items there, and a kind of oven somewhere there, warm things up, and a few jugs and other receptacles up on the shelf there. So, I don't know, Martha might have been working in something like that. You'd struggle to find the agar in there, or all the best Le Creuset, or whatever else to do your cooking. This was simple, simple stuff. And these were the kinds of places where the Lord would stop, and he would speak with people, and he would be very happy to eat with people there. What a grandeur of heaven that he had left. It's beauty and it's glory to be able to spend time in houses like this. That's exactly why he came, to do just that. And so here we are, the meal. Well, I don't know what they ate still. It doesn't say to us there. I suppose far away from some water at least. The Sea of Galilee isn't too far away. There might have been fish on the menu. There's some fish and loaves there, which of course we hear the Lord blessing them and breaking them on another occasion. Perhaps there's a little bit more upmarket there. I don't know, with lots of bowls and things and olives and vegetables and such things as that there. Well, that's not giving you ideas what we're having for fellowship meal, but anyway, these sorts of things there would have been their fellowship meal equivalent. And they would have sat down to eat things like that, in places like that, food prepared in rooms like that, perhaps.
So that's where we find the action taking place. And of course, well, it's so well known, isn't it, what actually happens. That Mary is in the main room, whatever the main room looked like, and the Lord was speaking. There she was, listening intently. Whenever he spoke, people would listen. Even his critics would have to listen, because what he was saying, they fought hard against it, but they couldn't outwit him. But they were compelled to listen. And of course, we learn the common people heard him gladly. Ordinary people, people from those districts and roundabout, when he was at the Sea of Galilee, they would listen. And here is Mary, if we can imagine her being a bit like that, listening carefully to what he was saying. And he was saying things that just thrilled her heart, and I hope will thrill ours. But of course, it's not with Mary that we really begin this, do we? It's more about Martha in this. Because she's invited him, it's prominent there, it's her name that's at the fore. She has invited him into her home. Perhaps the older sister there, sort of in that way, and in charge of hospitality and such things. She felt it fell to her to take the lead in these things. And so, she felt, it fell to her to make sure that the food would appear. And out of this kitchen, serving in rooms like this, whatever, whether it was fish or whatever they were eating there, to make sure there was food on the plate at the appointed time. Now, maybe she had some idea in her head, right, I expect us to be able to be eating by such and such a time. That's in her head. And so what she's doing is preparing everything with that in view. Well, of course, dinners don't just jump on the plates. Food doesn't just bounce into a pot and start bubbling away there. It needs work. It needs preparation. Fellowship meal. I can tell you, food has not just appeared. People have been cooking things and preparing things and all the rest of it there. We hope to enjoy that shortly, don't we? So Martha is busy, isn't she? She is busy. I guess so. There's a meal to serve. Well, the disciples might be there, and the Lord, and Mary herself. It's a fair number of people. And she's on her own, in the kitchen, trying to get this right. Thinking about the time, the clock's there, by the sun, you know, what time of the day when she was expecting to provide that food. Maybe she said, we'll eat at such and such a time. And she was holding herself, maybe, to that idea. So everything had to be done. Fish to be gutted and vegetables to be washed. And you can imagine it, can't you? It doesn't take much imagination to see things don't always turn out in the kitchen as you'd hope they would. So, something there's burning. The meat's not cooked through just yet. Sorry, we'll wait another half hour. The fellowship meal there's not quite done yet. Just be patient. Things like this happen in kitchens. You look for some item. You realize it's not been washed up. You have to wash it. And then you drop something. You're in a rush. Something off the shelf crashes down on the ground. And the pressure mounts. That time. When are we going to be able to get this meal ready? I had said such and such a time. And look, this is all falling to pieces. And for Martha, this was unthinkable. Unthinkable. This is her home, and she's the one that invited these people in, and perhaps had held herself to a particular time, whether she'd said it, or whether it was just in her thinking, that we're going to sit down and eat at this time, and I'm going to get this ready in time, and that ready in time, and we'll have this done, and that cooked, and that'll be finished, and this will all be done to perfect. And so it was. And of course, as it becomes perhaps more and more difficult, the work to do, providing for all these people, few little mishaps that we can imagine might have happened along the way there. Things that didn't happen as quickly as she'd hoped they would, or it wasn't where she expected it to be, that particular item. The pressure is building. And building. And building. And her mind becomes less on the cooking, which of course in itself then could lead to further disaster. Her mind is turning more to Mary, who normally perhaps would have been with her there, helping. She'd have done that extra bit of washing up that we needed. She'd have had her eye on that thing, which is now burnt dry to a cinder. She would have been there, but she's not. She's in there,
in the main room, listening to the Lord Jesus.
And then,
and this is where Martha really does get into a little bit of trouble with this one, her thinking then turns to the Lord. And she's thinking of him. Why won't he stop speaking? Or why won't he tell Mary, Mary, wouldn't it be a good idea if you stop listening now, just go and help your sister in the kitchen, she's busy. You know, we can just hear the crash of that plate down there. Perhaps just run along and help her. She didn't do that. And he's still teaching. And she's still there listening. And so there is Martha in the kitchen on her own, dealing with all of these things, trying to get this meal ready in time for everybody to be able to eat to the standard that she would think, as the person who's invited them in, that they're entitled to expect. And she expects of herself. And she's on her own, and so her thoughts more and more are turning towards, where is Mary? And why won't he stop? Why won't he send her in to help me? Isn't he thinking? How thoughtless of Mary, but how thoughtless of him. How, well, selfish thoughts that might have been going through her mind as she's just the pressure building up within her, her thinking as she sees yet another of her special dishes, as it were, turning to rack and ruin there, more and more. And then, of course, it happens. That's it. Some perhaps further disaster, the straw that breaks the camel's back, and she goes in. And we rather imagine that she goes in with a bit of attitude, doesn't she, here? There is something in the way that she says it. In one sense, well, it's a reasonable request. But it's the way that she puts this request that comes out all wrong. We realise that she's been turning over some rather wrong and rather negative thoughts as she's been there in the kitchen. Lord, don't you care? Don't you care that I am having to do all this work alone in the kitchen? Tell my sister Mary to come and help me. See, she holds him responsible. She's holding him responsible for all of this difficulty she's experiencing in the kitchen, for all of the things that are going wrong. She's looked beyond Mary. Oh, it's not her. You should have told her to come and help me. You've not been thinking about me. And so she's very strong. She comes out very strong with this. Dear me, what is going to happen now? And I can almost imagine, can't you, the disciples, when Martha comes in like that, what's he going to say to her? This is a bit outrageous. She's out of order here. She might have been hot and, you know, the kitchen, the heat, and it's come out all rather negative and rather strong. What will he say to her? Well, she gets a rebuke. Yes, she does. She gets a rebuke. But it's a beautiful rebuke. It's such a gentle rebuke. Lord, don't you care? Martha, Martha. Can't you always hear in the way that he speaks to her that he understands? He understands everything. He's omniscient. He understands everything that's in her head. He knows. He knows what's happened. He knows what's been turning over in her mind. He knows that even that negativity has come towards him, that she holds him responsible for all her griefs and troubles in the kitchen. Martha, Martha. It's gentle. It's kind. He's actually got such a heart for her, despite what she might have been thinking about him and the way it's come out in what she said. And he then just analyses, doesn't he, right into the heart of her problem. You're distracted by many things. Many things. Many things. There was the fish, there was the water boiling, there was the bread to prepare, no, the vegetables. Many things. Puts them in their place, actually. Many things, yes. You're distracted, though. You've missed, actually, what is the most important thing here. Then comes the lesson. Mary has got it right. Mary, Martha thought was thoughtless and selfish and not thinking about her, her sister, how unloving that she'd left me. No, Mary has got it right. She has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her.
That is it. The end of our five verses.
There is the lesson that comes through, well, not only to Martha, but should come through to each of us as well. And so just a few thoughts on that. Firstly, this might sound obvious, this, doesn't it? But the Lord knew who he was. The Lord knew exactly who he was. That he'd come from heaven, that he was going to heaven. That when he spoke the words that his Father had given to him. He was doing the works that his Father had shown to him. He knew exactly who he was. And that meant that he knew that when he was speaking to people, it really was good for them to be able to listen to it. Because he knew who he was. If anybody was to say, well, everybody should listen to everything that I say, well, you're arrogant, aren't you? But he isn't. He knows that he is speaking words of truth, words of life, words that are for the good of any single human being that has a mind to listen to them. And so there is Mary and the disciples, perhaps other people, they're listening to him. And he knew that it was important for them to listen to him because he knew who he was. Martha had forgotten. She had forgotten. She was taken up with the many things. She had forgotten who he was, and that actually it's worth just shelving the meal for an hour to go and listen to him. He knew what people needed. Well, Martha might have thought they need their dinner. They need it on time. And the fish has to be just here, and that has to be just... No, that wasn't. They'll eat a meal. Well, that'll be done and dusted. They'll need to eat another meal. But that's not the thing that they needed the most. That wasn't the thing that they needed the most. They needed actually that good thing which Mary had chosen. Things of eternity. Things to do with the soul more than the body. Things to do with our standing before God rather than whether the dinner's on time, what will the neighbours think, what will he think, Those things, many things, and we need to eat, and we need to have our dinner, and so it is. But they missed, Martha had. And don't we all miss actually what is most important? What we really need, which is to know our sins forgiven. And to know that we have fellowship with God, who is the judge of all the earth. And to know that when we meet with him, the day will not be a day of disaster, and of ruin, and of wrecked hopes, and of eternal damnation, but a day of blessing, and of joy, and of understanding that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he did forgive our sins, totally, absolutely. And when we stand before the judge of all the earth, he will acquit us because of his son. To know that. That's what we know, or we need to know. And here's a sad fact, and Martha shows it. We don't know how important he is. Somehow, in all of this, in Martha's thinking, she's a godly woman, and she comes over wonderfully in John chapter 11, but here, at least, she's somewhere else. Her thinking is out there. It's wrong. But we're the same. We don't know how important he is. That to stop and to consider him and to think about him and to pray for his help and his forgiveness is the most important thing that there could be. By all means, pass your exams. By all means, get a good career. By all means, use the gifts God has given to you. But here is the most important thing. To know him. To know him. Not know about him. Not know a bit of Christianity, a few choice words and a few verses from here and there. To know him, this person, who was there and that Mary was listening to and the disciples were followers of him and who spoke the words of truth and life. Who spoke of himself because he knew who he was. And who was going to offer himself on the cross for the forgiveness of sin that any young people, children, anybody can seek him. And find his mercy and find peace with him, which will extend on into eternity. We just don't know how important he is. The people out there don't know how important he is. If he was of any importance to them, they'd be in here. Or they'd be in another Bible-believing church. They'd be wanting to hear the Bible and have the Bible explained to them and be told more about him, more about Jesus, would I know. It's sad, isn't it? They're not here. Because they don't think he's important. Because they don't think their soul is important.
They don't think eternity is a vital issue. But I hope we think differently. So there we have Mary and Martha. Well, yes, dinner needed to be cooked, needed to be there, and great if we can feed all these people. We hope we can feed all the people that are here today for our fellowship meal. But that wasn't the most important thing. The most important thing was what Mary was doing. Spending time listening to, learning from, appreciating, loving the person who is in their house on this very special occasion. Martha had to have a rebuke and a lesson, which is a rebuke and a lesson to us all, if we have ears to hear it. Remember him. He knew who he was. He knew he was coming to save sinners. He knew he was going to have to die on the cross to do it. He knew that because he knew what we needed. We're sinners, far from God. We need a Saviour. We need a sacrifice for sin. He's going to do that. There's the sad fact. Don't let that be the end of this day for you. That you end up still clueless as to how important he is. Still not really thinking he's really worth that much when he's worth everything. That's why Mary sat and listened. He's worth everything. She chose the good part, not the distraction of many things. She chose the good part. So what about you? As so often in the Bible, the Lord ministers something and it's there for us to take it away and think, well, what am I? Am I Mary? Am I Martha? And in which case, what do I need to do about it? So what will you do about it? Will you believe? Will you trust in him? Will you stop and have a longer look? Okay, but don't stop and look too long. You trust in him? Or will you close down the system, shut your heart against all this? Oh, not that important, really. We reckon, don't we? Martha learnt the lesson. Came away from that older and wiser. Well, may God make each of us older and wiser. Choosing that good part that won't be taken from us. Eternity. And he gives us the gift of salvation that's never lost. Take that good part like Mary did, that you'll have life eternal through the Son.